Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Thank you for joining our second in our webinar series around ERP security. This particular session, I'm calling the ERP Black Box, 5 reasons why your vulnerability management program must include your ERP landscape. To start, a quick little bit about myself. I am the Vice President of Global Product Marketing here at Anapsys. I have 20 years experience, which I probably don't want to admit out loud, new product development, strategic alliances and marketing, and I've worked for a number of different companies in leadership roles across the tech and cybersecurity space. Now today, what we're going to dig into is really sort of 4 buckets here. First off, I want to do a quick little recap of what we talked about the last time in our first session. Then I figure we'll dive a little bit into vulnerability management programs in general. We'll level set, we'll get a good idea of what might be a good set of best practices here. And then we'll take it a step further and we'll say, let's expand this and get a better understanding of why your vulnerability management programs absolutely need to include ERP applications in some particular manner and where they're gapped in certain ways. And then we'll just give you some final thoughts and takeaways, as well as the QR code and a little bit of advertising for the rest of our series that will be continuing week over week. So last time we talked a little bit about ERP and ERP security trends. And we talked about everything from how the critical application layer is frequently neglected to how there are a lot of different external and internal factors coming to bear on your actual ERP landscape and your teams that are tasked with managing them, both from a development and security side, as well as taking a look at some of the observations from our very own Anapsys research labs, digging into a little bit more about threat actor activities and their tactics and their procedures. I guess the best way I can sum up everything from the first session, and I do highly recommend you going back and checking it out if you haven't already seen it, we're really truly dealing with what I would call a perfect storm of complexity for everybody. And this fundamentally makes it very challenging for teams to secure ERP. From a number of different reasons. So where do we go from there? Well, why don't we start by first defining what we think vulnerability management is? Gartner has a great definition. They call it a process cycle for finding, assessing, remediating, and mitigating security weaknesses on information systems. The key piece here that I'd like to really point out is the cycle. And I know that very frequently for those who are familiar with vulnerability management or those who have programs who have processes, people, technology, very frequently it feels like it's a whack-a-mole kind of process, right? You're attacking the best you can and doing what you can. When implemented correctly or implemented optimally, let's just say, it should really be a full life cycle for vulnerability management, taking you all the way from assessment to improvement, which then starts the life cycle all over again. But it's really difficult, right? For a number of different reasons that we covered across the prior session. Gartner specifically calls out that a lack of coordination and prioritization across multiple teams can actually lead to gaps in asset inventory. Why is that an issue? Well, if you take a look at what's truly important when you think of a vulnerability management program, it's really important to understand what assets you have and understand how you can classify them to make sure that you're doing and targeting things the right way and prioritizing accordingly. 3 of the key things that Gartner wants you to include inside of your vulnerability management program are listed here to the left: discovering and classifying assets on a continuous basis with reliability, the ability to scan for vulnerabilities at the right frequency. Maybe certain production servers get scanned at a higher frequency than other ones that might be non-prod. All depends on the program and your appetite for risk, so to speak. And then your ability to really prioritize your team's efforts to remediate any vulnerabilities in there. However, when we think about this gap in asset inventory, it really goes to what in my landscape, what in my attack surface am I not actually seeing? And Gartner here also notes that as they look through 2026, they're predicting that the non-patchable attack surfaces will grow from a very small percentage to more than half of your total exposure. This specifically holds true for ERP applications when you think of the vast complexity And when you think of how widespread they are throughout the entire organization with different business units running it. So, I hate to say that this is kind of true, but it's kind of true. When we step back a little bit, if you take nothing else out of this vulnerability management section, I've always loved this bit from Gartner. And I think the key piece from this quote is think about it as a risk-based process. It includes threat intelligence, absolutely, and it should be a continuous process, not point in time. But very specifically, the risk associated with vulnerabilities changes as they're exploited by attackers. I think very frequently we get caught up in this idea of, if something has a particular CVSS score, we will patch that one immediately. Something that might be lower in criticality, we may ignore, whether it's due to resources, whether it's due to an actual risk acceptance plan or anything along those lines. There are a number of different reasons why. This is a very dynamic process, and it's made even more dynamic for a number of different reasons, which I'm going to dive into just shortly. But that's something just to keep in the back of your mind as we kind of look through the body of the rest of the presentation here. So when we think about that gap of asset inventory, when we think about this gap with criticality, let's dig into maybe five reasons why we should really make ERP applications a primary focal point of your vulnerability management programs. Let's start with number one. I believe that ERP applications are your OT of IT. And so when you think of ICS, when you think of SCADA, when you think of other operational technologies, SAP and Oracle, they're systems of record. They always need to be on. When you think of your CIA triad of confidentiality, integrity, and availability, CIA is generally how we look at it from an IT side, and AIC, inversely, from the OT side. Confidentiality is clearly important as we think of these systems as record, but almost equally as important is availability. And the reason why is because they are foundational pieces of your business and they connect everything together, whether it's both internal from your finance to your manufacturing, all the way out to your supply chain and your partners. And so fundamentally, any global enterprise who's doing this can't afford any downtime. And I do mean this literally and figuratively. If you take a look over here on the left-hand side, you'll see a couple of stats from Fortinet, from Anapsys, from Ascent here. But truly what we're looking at is that a large majority of security events will cause an operational outage, and that affects your productivity. The costs are high. If your ERP application goes down, you're looking at probably a minimum around 50K per hour. US, the cost is very frequently higher than that. This was from a study that we generated. And then, of course, when we think about just sometimes the average yearly cost of business disruption of around $5 million due to any particular aspects of non-compliance from not patching correctly and things along those lines, you're talking about high costs with regards to any element of the vulnerability management program that's failing and giving you some elements of downtime. As we were talking to some of our customers, one of our customers kind of gave me this wonderful quote, and I still kind of love it. Just if only for the part that says it's absolute chaos if SAP is taken offline, and a little bit of humor there, but fundamentally this is true because these are so intimately intertwined into every aspect of your business. If that goes down, what do you do for your business? And as she said, it's impossible to see where things go, and we just can't produce anything. When you think about what you spend on security budgets for security in defense in depth models or edge or email security, things along those lines, frequently you might have to take another hard look and say, well, are we really targeting the truly important and most impactful pieces of our tech stack? And very frequently, many people are not, but we are seeing that page turning, so to speak. Number two for my list here, and part of the reason why, is because the pace of modernization and transformation has truly accelerated. A lot of these bullets should be extraordinarily familiar to many of the people on this conversation. The COVID pandemic created a rush for workforce and digital investments. We needed to get our teams connected to the critical systems they needed to do business. We needed to have no downtime. We need to get all these projects up and running, get them connected, get some portals up and running. When you take a look at SAP, there's one of the largest migrations in number of years right now as people are moving from legacy SAP to S/4HANA. In fact, they've extended this migration deadline for support out from 2025, for those that don't know, to 2027. So they've given you a little bit more breathing room, but we do know that all of these projects are multi-year, really in-depth, complex projects. So it's going to come up faster than we think. As the pandemic progressed, as we started seeing supply chain issues in different industry segments that we've observed, we're starting to see more investments in localized supply chains. Challenge here is now you're spinning up local partners, you're building that value chain, but on top of that, you're now connecting them in more interesting ways that might not necessarily be anticipated. So we're really investing in this stuff and then connecting more systems together. All these value partners are connecting to your critical systems in ways that perhaps was never originally designed for these critical systems. And then you have this sort of direct to X, as I'm calling it, which is like direct to consumer, direct to partner, direct to user. You're giving more people access to your critical systems via web portals, self-service. If you're in the utilities space, you're giving customers access to customer portals. That's been a large part of your digital transformation and business modernization strategies over the past 5 to 10 years, investing in the self-service piece of it, and they connect in. So now you're connecting CRM, you're connecting customer portals, you're connecting finance, and you're connecting the web. And as we all know, anytime anything's exposed to the internet, there are some particular challenges, correct? So the downside of digital transformation, if you will permit me, is that these aggressive projects, arguably flat budgets, right? But they're favoring velocity and they're not favoring security. Security is very frequently seen as a blocker, as an obstacle. It doesn't have to be, but it very frequently is, especially when you have multiple projects, not enough people, maybe not the right tools, not the right knowledge base. So it makes it very, very challenging. And Ponemon had this wonderful quote here. Well, not wonderful, I suppose, but 82% of executives believe their organization experienced at least one data breach as a result of digital transformation projects. And I believe that that's a direct result from the fact that we have favored velocity over security, and we're connecting our critical systems in ways that we have never done before, nor have anticipated, nor have aligned with InfoSec to ensure that we're truly connecting them properly and securely. So that brings me to number three. The shift to the cloud is leaving your ERP applications more vulnerable. As you're migrating your systems to the cloud, whether it's brownfield, whether it's greenfield, whether it's a hybrid opportunity at any particular point, what you're doing is you're creating and you're opening a path for these critical systems to reach the internet. And that, as we know, can introduce risk. Perhaps you've planned for this, and that's great. Many people have not, or they have not planned enough, or certain teams aren't aligned in the way they need from an application development side to ensure that risk is mitigated the best you can. And when you think about how we traditionally look to secure the proverbial crown jewels, your SAP and your Oracle systems and that key data, we have defense in depth models, right? And defense in depth models, I still believe, are valuable and should always be implemented in certain ways. You want to be able to try to catch people across multiple layers and give yourself time and opportunity to detect attacks and mitigate risk in that particular manner. However, as you think about when you willingly open the drawbridge, so to speak, you can see my lovely picture on the side of our ERP fortress with SAP and Oracle looking out and the doors wide open to this internet portal connecting out here. Once you start connecting it open, it doesn't matter how many walls you have if you've created a direct tunnel or pathway in. A couple of years ago, the Anapsys Research Labs took a look at a number of different systems across our threat intelligence cloud. And we learned that any sort of attackers who are more sophisticated than before, which we'll get to in a little bit, they need less than 3 hours to exploit a new ERP system that you've spun up online. So you spin up a new ERP application, you think, I'm going to have enough time to get everything ready, patch it, do all that stuff. I'll just spin it up vanilla, we'll get it rolling, it'll be fine. Our attackers need less than 3 hours to exploit it. So they're vulnerable, and the thing is, your attackers are looking for this. According to Accenture, About a third of executives have stated that security is not actually a part of their cloud discussions from the outset, which is surprising when you think about it, but probably also equally not surprising when you think about the velocity at which we are trying to get these digital transformation projects out in order to stay competitive on a day-to-day basis. That balance is extraordinarily challenging. And, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and say and give you these stats, but truly the executives who on a daily basis have to make these decisions, it's a challenging line to walk. And I understand. Which kind of brings me to number four. When you think about all this complexity, when you think about going to the cloud, when you think about everything else, we really don't have a true understanding of what our attack surface actually happens to be. Again, Gartner said, lack of coordination, lack of prioritization. We have gaps in what we look at from an asset inventory side. I've highlighted kind of three ideas why. We'll start with the first one here. Well, we think that managing anything about your landscapes can be really complicated. You've got multiple business units. They have their systems. It's a combination of legacy. It's on-prem. It's not. It's on the cloud. You have all this different set of scrutiny and regulations. Maybe different systems have different elements of compliance and different audits and all this kind of stuff with different owners. And it's really challenging to manage all of that. When you think about technology you may use for vulnerability management right now, they have fundamental gaps. According to Gartner, in-depth assessments of ERP systems are not widely supported in your traditional solutions. So those larger vulnerability management technology stacks that are absolutely fundamental to a good cybersecurity program, and I'm not arguing against them, they're very broad and they look at a number of different applications. The challenge is that they don't go very deep in certain ones. And the argument here is if you think about how complex ERP systems can be, and when you think about the large amount of custom code that we are including in these ERP systems in order to, shall we say, codify your competitive advantages for your company into your operations, it's nigh impossible for a vendor who has very broad approaches to fundamentally look at and then strictly say, we can dig in and actually give you the right vulnerability management assessment here. And then, you know, when we think about this complexity, right? You have gaps in your visibility and security. The multiple stakeholders piece from the first one carries over. There are multiple business units running different systems. You have different application development teams. They're customizing code. You might have some partners who are doing this. You might have some GSIs doing this. You might have Bob in accounting sitting in an office somewhere in the US who's creating his own little script because he wants a report to be emailed to him. All of these different things are coming through. And unfortunately, when InfoSec gets involved, which they are usually getting a lot more involved these days because of all these larger migrations and the cloud digital transformations, it makes it very challenging for InfoSec to monitor and ultimately secure and de-risk the enterprise in that manner. Finally, number five, the ERP landscape is a fertile ground for direct attacks. This is a slightly busy slide, but this is an accumulation of our observations of the types of attacks and the scale that has grown over the span of years. And you can see all the way to the far left, started out maybe around 2012 with like a first public exploit that targeted SAP applications. And they were focused with hacktivists and things along those lines. And then you started seeing criminals creating malware. But now you're starting to see right around 2016, this is where CISA, the United States government cybersecurity, starts getting involved with an actual true CERT alert regarding an exploit for SAP business applications. And you start to see a little bit more interest on the dark web. And you're starting to see this progression all the way up. And now it's almost a yearly occurrence where you're seeing some sort of CERT alert that's related to an ERP system over the years. So you're seeing even from IDC, they're claiming that roughly about 64% of ERP systems have been breached in the past 2 years. It's not surprising when we think about the complexity, but what I'm trying to draw focus here for is the fact that you're seeing an escalation of knowledge from the threat attack side. And so your threat actors are getting better at what they're doing, which we generally think about. Question then becomes, are we improving what we're doing? So vulnerability chaining is a very common tactic and procedure that threat actors will use to navigate through a system. And so what you're seeing here is a quick example of how, you know, we can use a couple of exploits up top there for certain vulnerabilities that might get us app level access, that gets us to OS level access, and finally, ultimately, into control of the data and processes deep within your ERP system. These guys up here at the top, they're more critical, right? They're 7.5 to about 10. I'd say maybe one or two of them might be 7.5 or so, which would be high medium, I guess. And then the most critical ones obviously are 10. These might be vulnerabilities that we're patching. Very frequently, ones that are that critical require kernel updates, which then fundamentally require you to schedule downtime, right? So even if you do get around to patching that, there's a little bit of a gap of time there. Where I want to call your attention is this stuff down here. These guys are 6.5. These are medium vulnerabilities. You may, and many customers might, for necessity, whether it's regarding resourcing or bandwidth or just, I will accept the risk because this is further into my system. I feel like we have enough controls around it and it's okay. These lesser critical vulnerabilities here are the ones that are also getting exploited and chained. All of these, by the way, are patched. Unfortunately, sometimes we have vulnerable systems or we haven't gotten around to patching these things. When you think back to that Gartner quote, which I want you to keep in the back of your head, the threat and the risk changes based on the types of vulnerabilities that are present in the system. So you might be able to map out those ones up top, which are great, but fundamentally, if you're not mapping these guys down below, then you're actually creating a problem for yourself. So let's take a look at knowledgeable threat actors right now. So they're moving very quickly to exploit these ERP vulnerabilities across the board, right? And so what you're seeing now is that there's a very aggressive timeline. There's a lot on this particular screen, but what I'll specifically call out is that generally speaking, we see that there's about 72 hours after a patch release, we're starting to see exploitation. It's because threat actors are actively scanning for vulnerabilities in critical systems because they're smarter at being able to do this. And so fundamentally, it's very quick for them to get hands on keys. And the challenge is, and still remains, that because of the complexity of our system and because of the challenges we face with resourcing and budget and technology, we're lagging behind. So again, 24 to 72 hours, you're seeing those attacks. On average, most orgs finally get around to patching in about 97 days. So that is about 94, 96 days or so of openness. So even if you have the will to detect and prioritize and then patch those critical 10.0 vulnerabilities, you might not be doing it immediately. And these threat actors are scanning your systems for it if they can. And remember, digital transformation projects, very frequently we're opening this up with an internet portal. They might have access directly to your critical systems. So what can we do about this? What I would offer is that when you think about these critical systems, you probably need three key things. Visibility clearly is truly important here. But I would also say it's alignment between your SAP, your BASIS, your InfoSec teams. They all need this visibility to come to some common consensus risk-driven decision-making. And that's truly, truly important. And that should be part of your vulnerability management process. As Gartner said earlier, threat intel is truly helpful. Why? So we can understand this vuln chaining. It's one thing to understand that this is a critical vulnerability that needs to be patched in a high level security note from like SAP or a critical patch from Oracle. It's another thing to understand how things get chained so that you can then prioritize, because certain vulnerabilities that may not have been as important for you or you may have accepted the risk on prior might become a higher threat based on new information that comes to light. So it's truly important to get a good idea on that stuff. And then, of course, because the vulnerability management technology is so broad and not necessarily deep, let's be honest, we don't have a million hours in the day to be able to sit there and patch and do research. So it's really good to have focused technology that helps us kind of mitigate this risk and get the right controls in place so that your team doesn't have to waste millions of hours basically digging into that. And so that's where we can help. So if you think about your critical systems here in the middle, we're going to wrap that around with our Assess product, which is that ERP vulnerability management piece that we're talking about. So automation for this, the ability to prioritize, threat intelligence built in here, giving your teams an actual really great dashboard to work from and then execute change from, connecting directly wherever you need to and aligning pretty nicely with InfoSec playbooks. And then we've got you covered across the board as you decide to grow beyond vulnerability management or expand your program to think about zero-day monitoring, continuous threat monitoring, or whether you want to go directly to the source and say, hey, app developers, maybe we should not introduce vulnerabilities to start with our code. And then, of course, give you the tools to automate your compliance and your controls. And everything in our stack is enriched with the threat intelligence from the Anapsys Research Labs. And what that helps you do is be better, faster, save time, et cetera. One final thing, I'll call out a quick little case study here for Fortune 50 automotive manufacturing company. The key piece here is they exhibited the same issues prior to collaborating with Anapsys that we noted up front with Gartner. Their teams weren't aligned. It was very challenging for them to actually secure SAP, and everything was just all over the place. Partnering with Anapsys and improving their vulnerability management program allowed them to reduce the time to scan. They found the right patches. They prioritized correctly. They were able to get the right threat intel from the Anapsys Research Labs, which you see over on the left-hand side. And everybody was, quite frankly, more efficient and everything was more optimized. And the visibility of that broader attack surface allowed teams to make better risk-driven decisions, which is truly important when you're considering the risk to your organization, especially in this, shall we say, era of heightened risk across the board on the cyber side. So I'll leave you with four notes here. Complexity introduces new risks, and you need to find a way to account for that if at all possible. So try to build in security into your digital transformation projects instead of bolting on later. As we think about vulnerability management, while it might feel like whack-a-mole, it shouldn't be whack-a-mole. It's really more than simply patching. It really needs to be a process and a system and true alignment across cross-functional teams here. Change your vulnerability management process. Try to think about it from the risk side. It needs to be adaptable. Your risk profile will change. It will change. Hard stop. It's just the way it's going to be as new vulnerabilities come to light that can be exploited. And remember, threat actors are more active than ever before scanning systems and particularly scanning portals and things along those lines that you have exposed to the internet, which then connect back to your critical systems. And then finally, we know that availability is paramount. So your security and your business continuity investments should reflect that unique reality. So, you know, if we're spending a lot of time on phishing exercises, which are truly, truly important as well, maybe there needs to be some thoughts about budget reallocation to focus on how we can secure these critical ERP systems, or at the very least, flesh out the vulnerability management program and processes a little bit better to alleviate the burden on your teams. So thank you for your time today. Please scan this QR code if you'd like to get to the series page so you can register it. This is the second in our series. Next week, we'll be digging into a little bit about DevSecOps and shifting left with the SAP environment. And then 2 weeks from now, I'll be sitting down for a roundtable with the CEO of Anapsys, Mariano Nunez, and our CTO, JP Perez Echegoyen, who's also the head of our Anapsys Research Labs, to talk a little bit about what they've observed over a decade of securing business critical applications. So thank you for your time. Again, truly appreciate it and look forward to the next time.